Let's just have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, we do pray today that you would really encourage us together as grandparents. Help us to understand what you are about and why you've given us this incredible privilege. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. What Mary and I are going to do today, we're doing a 6-seminar sequence in our church on grandparenting. And we're going to try and condense the first two sessions that we did and to bring it to you. And now, the way we want to structure it, we'll just go till our time is out together. If you want to sit and discuss, and we'll stop wherever we happen to end up, because we haven't quite done it in a one-session situation like this. I love the title that this is the greatest job on earth, being a grandparent. We like some of the quotes that we put. My grandkids believe I'm the oldest thing in the world, and after 2 or 3 hours with them, I believe it too. And the other one that I think was kind of neat that we brought up, an hour with your grandchildren can make you feel young again. Anything longer than that and you start to age quickly. And so, you know, we found lots and lots of interactions and jokes on this. It's interesting that being a grandparent kind of sneaks up on you by surprise. And everybody's reaction is very different. Before you're a grandparent, you can't figure out why these idiots keep pulling out these pictures and insisting that everybody look at them, and then all of a sudden you're doing it. The same thing. In fact, I didn't get it put on a PowerPoint. There's this picture of this grandmother who says, "Oh, I'm glad you asked." She presses a button and out springs out a big deal on a spring with all the pictures of her grandchildren. Now, our experience is that for women take to grandparenting like just a duck takes to water. And from the time that she looks into the eyes of her first child, she sees grandchildren. You know, it's just kind of instinctive. She's not sure she wants to be called grandma, but the fact is, and she, you know, the stopping from our generation wearing mini skirts and to admit to getting older, but she makes it. The transformation. But most men, it's another thing. They are fully unprepared, is what we have found out. And he's worried about his graying hair and the roll around his middle, and being a grandpa hardly has crossed his mind up till that point. And he needs to learn. Now, that's a broad generalization, but that's what we found out. That women take to it far more than men do. And the whole thing becomes complicated. And then you add in a divorce, either the divorce of the grandparents or the divorce of parents, and life in the grandparenting business can become very difficult. It is not all simple. I mean, we think it is when we think of families that aren't blended or whatever, but even then, a lot of complications set in. Mary?
Just a quick little reading from a 9-year-old boy on what is a grandmother. And it's worth going through this just for the last line and the wisdom of this little boy. So, to answer the question, what is a grandmother, he says, a grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own. A grandfather is a man's grandmother. He goes for walks with the boys, and they talk about fishing and tractors and stuff like that. Grandmothers don't have to do anything except be there. They are old, so they shouldn't run and play hard. It's enough if they drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and have lots of quarters ready. They take us for walks. They slow down past things like pretty flowers and caterpillars, and they never say, "Hurry up." Usually grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear. They can take their teeth and gums off. Grandmothers don't have to be smart. They just have to answer questions like, why isn't God married? And how come dogs chase cats? Everyone should try to have a grandmother, especially if you don't have television. Here's the key. because they are the only grown-ups who have time. That's a gift we can give our grandchildren.
And the fact is that they don't perceive you as even having a job. They don't perceive you as anything but a grandparent. And they really do think. Now, they understand their parents are busy and they yell at them a little bit, just like we used to with our kids, and do all kinds of stuff. But the fact is they perceive you as being totally available, and they can't understand why you wouldn't be. And so that's just a simple fact of life. Shall we go on to general principles on that one?
Yeah, just I know it's familiar to all of you, Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are a crown to the aged. And that is certainly true. You feel like a king or a queen when you're with those grandchildren. And relating to them gives you that feeling. I think the Lord really knew what he was talking about there.
Well, when we talk about general principles, first, you want to look to the future but link to the past. And I think you have a couple things on that, hon.
Yeah, we can be that link, actually, over centuries. We can give them a clue to what their past is, and we can look with them to the future. They can't live where we have been, but we can tell them about it. And especially in the spiritual sense, do they know when and how we received the Lord? It's a wonderful story to tell to them, and that they can then pass on to the rest of the generations that even follow them. The spiritual history is very important that we relay that to our grandchildren. We can give them even more than their own parents can. And stories are important. Anytime you read the Old Testament, you see that the stories are repeated again and again because it's the story of what God has done, and we can offer that to our grandchildren.
How many of you had a strong, good relationship with grandparents? Can I just see? Okay. Tell us one or two things about that, will you? What tell us about a grandmother or grandfather?
Well, I had a grandpa. He was actually my step-grandfather, but I knew him as my grandfather since I was about, I think, two when my grandmother married. And I never knew that he wasn't my real grandfather. But he gave me this unconditional love. Mm. And I go see him in Mississippi in the summers. And I can still remember the joy of being with him because he was a great male figure that just loved me. And I don't know that he was real old. I mean, now you can say, oh, but I don't know how old he was then when I was little in relationship with what I am to my grandchildren. But I just remember the unconditional love and just feeling like I knew I was special. And he didn't say too much. And I think he died thinking the earth was square because he told me one time that in the Bible it says, you know, go to the four corners of the earth. He says, so the earth can't be round.
Great.
It's funny and I still have great pleasure in thinking about the day he died. He called me. I was in college, I was out of college, and he wouldn't come to the phone and talk to me. And I knew it was real special to him. And he would say, and my grandma said, well, he won't come. And I knew that something was wrong. And so I told my employer, I said, I've got to go see my grandfather. And she said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know, but he wouldn't come to the phone. I got there and saw him before he died. I actually helped shave him so he'd go to the hospital.
Wow.
And so it was a special relationship. It was real dear.
It's great to have that memory. Any other one that you want to share? Yes, Donna.
I didn't have a strong relationship with a grandparent, but a very brief one that was life-impacting. And so that's meaningful to me, that in just a few moments' time even, or a few weeks' time, a grandparent can have a great influence on a child. I was about 7, and my father's mother came to visit us, the only time I remember her ever coming. And she may have stayed a week or so. She lived in Milwaukee, and we lived in Kansas City. And people just didn't travel a lot at that point. And before she left, she put in my hand a little scripture card. out of one of the little daily bread promise boxes. And it was Matthew 6:33. And I'm a saver. And so I put that little scripture card in my mirror. And I grew up seeing Matthew 6:33 every day.
That's great.
And so she had a strong impact on my spiritual life.
And we'll have a chance to share a little of that. How many of you hardly even knew your grandparents? Any of you? Okay, Bob. Okay, and Mike. Okay, now, did any of you have really negative experiences with a grandparent? Okay, Dave and Buck, say, what do you want to say what it was? Or
my grandfather was a hard old German that, and I think he was starting at the, when we came back from Japan, we really didn't know him. And so we were kind of thrust back into his life as an older person. And we just never got along because he thought every kid was supposed to be perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. And so, see, that was not a particularly model. Buck, anything particular?
I guess a lack of warmth. And I think, as I look back, I think that it was a lot of acceptance based on performance.
Yeah.
I went from my grandfather to my father to me.
Right.
And so,
okay. Well, that, as you see, it varies. So the fact is your experience does not necessarily determine what you can do or should do. So you have to form a new pattern. I'm going to turn to Psalm 78 for just a minute because there's not a tremendous amount of teaching in the Scripture on grandparenting, but there are quite a few examples. Psalm 78 says, O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables, see stories. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, you know, what's happened before. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children that they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And so what we find, several principles that come out of this. And I'm not getting, that's Deuteronomy 6, by the way, not Deuteronomy 8. I forgot to change it. We have a responsibility to teach them truth and history. That is the grandparents' role, I feel. The parents, I know us, we didn't tend to think about that. The second thing, we need to have a 3 to 4 generation perspective that they will remember and will do what we did with them. Our goal is to help them to trust God, to remember, and to be obedient. That's what this passage said. Now, the fact is, we will have many, many relationships where parents don't even know the Lord. We'll talk about that a little later. Tell stories of the past. Prepare them for the future. And remember that all of life is a picture lesson. They will not remember facts, but they will remember stories. And the stories often need visuals to go along with them because they can't paint the picture in their minds what is in your mind as you tell the story of the past. And so, let me just look here. Okay, Mary, I think you're up on the next one there.
Okay. Just a little bit about influencing our grandchildren. Always this must be done with parental approval. Just because you feel strongly about something doesn't mean that the parents necessarily want that being a part of their children's lives. Now, if you have a good relationship with your kids, this won't be a problem. But thinking through what are things that you value and appreciate. Maybe it's music. Maybe that's a strong value for you. Now, this is beyond the spiritual. I know that all of us feel that way. Or maybe you, in your home, love to play games, and you want to do that with your children. My dad used to play board games with our children. They still talk about that. That was a value. Maybe it's sports. Jerry is trying to teach handball, which is a passion of his, to our grandchildren. And so they go down on Sunday afternoons and to the Y, and they have these little lessons. Now, Jerry isn't sure that it's really handball, or is it Josh and John's ice cream afterwards
that's always
appreciating.
So I got a way to hook them some way or another. Yeah.
We love the outdoors. We take them hiking, and they've built memories there. Playing. The younger they are, the more we need to play. And maybe you feel at your age and with a touch of arthritis or whatever, you don't want to get down on the floor and do that. But it's really important because it's living at their level with their interests. Or maybe you enjoy health conscious things like nutrition or something. At Christmas time, we were with another set of grandparents with our mutual grandchildren, and one of the little ones was sitting on my lap, and she pointed to the other grandmother and said, "You're the vegetable grandma." Oh. And then she pointed to me and she said, "You're the candy grandma." Oh. Now, I still haven't decided which is the good and which is the good. She didn't define that, but so just thinking through, how can you influence and promote your values in your grandchildren's lives? And I think you have to give it some thought rather than just waiting for it to happen.
This is my Josh and John's card. I have a running account at the ice cream store. And the kids know it, and they just have fun. And so that's just a thing I do. But see, you've got your thing. You've got something that's kind of special that they will remember about you and what you do. And so it's very important that you discover it. Now, remember, we're talking about influence and not direction, teaching, talking, presence, and life. All of those things are involved. And it's more than fun and games. I think that's very important. It's not just playing. There needs to be some forethought. We're going to come up, we're going to talk a little bit about that a little later. Now, we could take some time to share the influence. I'll just share that since my parents were divorced when I was just a few months old, we lived, my mother and my grandfather. So I grew up with my grandfather. And of all his grandchildren, I was the only one who liked him. He really paid attention to me. And now he probably was an alcoholic, as I look back on it now. And the other grandkids, my other cousins, didn't have the same connection. And the same, when you talk about complicated families, my father's mother remained a significant influence in my life, and even with her former daughter-in-law, for their entire life. She determined that she was not going to lose the connection. Create all kinds of complications. My name is White. All my brothers that I grew up with, their name is Sundahl. They could never figure out why I had a different name. But it was because Grandma White would have been so disappointed had I changed my name. And she was even the most significant grandma to my children, so great-grandma. So a lot of things come into this business, and I believe that when we think of how we influence them, by the way, limitations, time, distance, your personality, I mean, you can't be who you aren't. And the other thing is just your family connections, what's going on in the family. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's talk a little bit about boundaries. You have that, Mary, I think.
Right. Again, the parents are the primary influence in these children. They have the prime responsibility before God, before the law. So keeping in mind always that we want to cooperate with the parents can be difficult if they have if they're not believers, they don't have a value system like we have. but parents are primary. We need to have some boundaries and limitations in our own home when the grandchildren are there. For example, do they run in and turn on the TV immediately? You may want to have some prearranged understanding with them on things like TV and food and showing respect to you and to each other, and some limitations. Our grandchildren do not use the computer unless we're with them. Now, we have restrictions on the computer in the sense of, what do you call those, Jerry's the techie, when you can't just go anywhere on the internet.
Well,
what?
Yeah, parental controls.
Yeah, right.
Like, I put them on, and then Mary couldn't go anywhere on the internet because she's a secondary server on it. So.
Whatever that means. But but we, too, have limitations and boundaries. For example, you want to establish with your children how much you will assist and help with the grandchildren. Are you always open to babysitting if you're home and you're not really having another schedule? Are you going to babysit? So, you know, establish these things. Have it up front. With our children who live here in town, they're free to ask any time for us to watch their children or give help. And we're free to say yes or no. So that's an understanding.
And we do, incidentally.
Yeah.
Or Mary does. I don't have much to do in that.
No
but.
Backbone.
No backbone, yeah. Well, it's just that we don't want them to feel restrained, but they've got to know that we aren't always available.
So there are things that Jerry and I have already determined that we will bend over backwards to help. If it's something that will enhance the parent's spiritual life, we will try to rearrange so that we are available. Our daughters and her husband wanted to go to a conference last weekend on marriage. And we said, you know, we bent over backwards. I did. Jerry ran off and did something else.
Yeah, I turned it. I was in an Air Force conference on space, which we hadn't planned on. So I was totally unavailable, which left Mary. And this one little deal there says, after the children leave, I feel this warm feeling. It's a liniment at work. You know, it is a lot of work. But the fact is that you've got to plan, and you've got to plan to be available. So it takes thinking. On the other hand, you have a personal life too. Do you have anything more on that?
No, go ahead.
Is that rare? Okay, let's go to the next general principle, and we'll get some feedback from you here in a bit. This is a big one that Mary and I have tried to work on. We do not think that our grandparents even thought about this, and the generation of our grandparents, that's intentionality. That is, we are planning ahead and thinking a year ahead on what we're going to do related to our grandchildren and month ahead. That stuff goes on the calendar, and it's not just going to their games and their sports. But the fact is, I would like to encourage you that you need to plan. And we do not believe that good grandparenting just happens. I'm going to give you a set of resource documents, or just a list of them here. And one of them says it's just automatic, and we don't agree with that. We think that you need to think about it and think about how you are going to do it. And the fact is, you need to be family-specific and child-specific. One size does not fit all with the grandchildren. Our youngest, Christy, has three, and the two girls are very outgoing. The little boy would rather go sit in a closet and play with toys.
In fact, he did. When his other grandmother was watching him, couldn't find him, finally called the police, and they found him.
He was on a military base, so
playing with his toys.
Yeah, he was sitting in the closet by himself playing with stuff. I mean, so and 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 the tendency, by the way, and I've been thinking about this related to our middle daughter Karen's kiddos, we tend to pay so much attention to the older ones that the younger just kind of don't get quite the attention. And certainly that was true with me. I was the eldest grandchild, got all the attention. And got a lot of jealousy, I believe, on the part of the other cousins. I've already mentioned this. I think we need to think a year ahead and then to design your special input. Now, for instance, one of the other set of grandparents of our middle daughter, Karen, she's an artist. And so she expresses with the kids things related to art, and they're learning it. I couldn't do that at all. And several of those kids are pretty good. Now, what do Mary and I do with them? For instance, we will have them over, and we plan this periodically, for a video night. Now, all the kids know you don't watch shoot 'em ups and fun stuff at our house. They can watch cartoons on occasion. But when we do this, we do it, all of the kids and us together. Have you seen this? And what do you think that? Is that a good one? So we pick certain videos, movies, that, and all of it has to have a lesson. So, for instance, we did Sergeant York, an old movie. And with Gary Cooper, and that worked very well. I hesitated on Les Miserables, but we did it, and it was phenomenal. The kids did not move a muscle. Then we would stop it. The reason I like the DVDs, just stop, said, for one thing, they don't get all the dialogue. So we back it up and re-listen to it. Or when Jean Valjean had a certain thing, I said, what do you think is going to happen next? So we had this discussion. Now, they probably make fun of me and all this stuff behind. You know, Bapa's always trying to teach us something, but that's true. They know that we're trying to, and they now participate in the selection. I say, well, what about this? Oh, no, we saw that, and that won't work at all. And recently, the last one we did about 3 weeks ago, we had them over, and I had three set aside, and I let them choose. Well, they chose Ben-Hur. That's 4 hours, folks. But they sat through, they didn't even get up to go to the bathroom. I mean, they sat through the entire thing, and it was really quite it was really quite significant, because it's a powerful story. So it leads us to discussions. Now, that's just one thing, and I'm going to give you a chance to share the activities that you like to do on that. So that's just a special input. Of course, handball's assumed for me with them, so they just do that. And let's see, is this mine? I'm just going to make a note on the imperative of time. Time, it is a costly thing, and quantity with little ones is important. You know, this quality quantity thing. Fact is, quantity is a big deal, and it does take time. Frequency is important if they are nearby, and we'll talk about long-distance grandparenting. We may have some inputs on that. Costly investment, obviously. And sleepovers. How many of you have done sleepovers with your grandkids? Okay. It's a fun thing. It's tiring. You can't get them to go to bed and all that stuff, but we have fun, and they really look forward to it. And to this point, they're all still coming. And you wonder, as they get into their teens, this isn't going to be quite as fun. It's not quite as cool. Another thing we did, we do certain kinds of trips. And here again, we gave them a choice. We gave them a choice on a particular restaurant. So we drove to Denver to the Casa Bonita, which is like a mini Disneyland, and they just had a ball. And what the great thing about driving a little distance, like Katie, if you drove down to Albuquerque, then you got them all in the car. And I am not very high. I know all of our kids have them, and we've even used them, the little videos you put in the back. And I just hate the trips with the videos, to be honest with you, because there's no talk. Unless they fight over which video and that. So I'm not necessarily high on that in Grandma and Grandpa's car, at least. Kids can do whatever they want. But we really want the interaction as much as possible. And, of course, special events, I think this goes without saying that we go to their games and all that sort of thing.
How many do you have?
Well, we have 11 grandchildren and 7 that live here locally. One last thing. Is this mine, hon?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Learning to grandparent?
Yeah.
Okay. Mary and I feel pretty strongly that we need to learn. And you need to study it. You take lessons from your past, both good and bad, to create an environment and the fact that it is not always natural. And the way to learn is keep listening to your friends. Now, you don't have to do what they do, but we feel that you need to learn from them. Let's just stop there. We're going to go into communication here. And Dave, maybe you can help me and reboot this and put this other one in. Well, let's just talk a little bit. What are your observations on some of these? What are some questions? What's some thoughts that you have that you've done?
Well, I identify with Sergeant York. That's required watching at our home.
Is it? Okay, good. Good. Well, it's a great movie, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, I watched that probably when I was 9 years old when it came out. Probably saw it 4 times, but I was an adult. In fact, I was on business in Washington, D.C., and I turned on the TV, and it was on.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't realized all the scripture that's in that and how much impact that really had on my life that I hadn't even realized.
Yeah. That's a great one. There's a colorized version out now. I like the black and white better, but that's it. Okay, yes, Katie?
When Mary was telling about the other grandmother whose grandson was playing in the closet quietly, Lee and Annie and I had a big chuckle because we have 2 grandmothers in California who we rarely get to see. We get them as often as we can. But they made an unusual trip to Santa Fe to see us. And so the mom, our son, and our daughter-in-law went to play golf with Griff. And so, you know, I love being a grandma. And so I said, I'll keep the girls, no problem. Well, they are feisty little girls. And they're getting better. They're getting easier. But we locked the doors. We live out kind of in the country. And, you know, my horror would have been for somebody to get out and get lost in the hills and a coyote or something, you know. So we were blowing bubbles and having fun, and all of a sudden, one of them disappeared, the older one, the real pistol. And so I, you know, went through the house calling for her, and she didn't answer. Oh, Lord, help me. So I called Annie, and I said, Annie, you've got to come quick. I've lost Sasha. Well, Annie came over, and just immediately, and was much calmer than I was. And we started looking. And finally, after, I don't know, it seemed like eternity to me, Annie said, Sasha, you need to answer your nanny when she calls you. Well, she had finally gotten into my closet, Annie had, and was looking at the shoes I had on the bottom of the closet. And here were 2 little bitsy black shoes that didn't belong in the closet. And she had found her behind my clothes.
She was hiding.
She was hiding. And I was between, you know, relief and absolute frustration.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought about telling her mother I had lost her child.
Yeah. Well, there are just lots of things. We had a situation the other day which everybody's got their stories, and you're welcome to tell any of your cute grandkids stories that you wish. Shelby and Audrey, who are 9 and 6?
7.
And Shelby is, Audrey, the 7-year-old's never found a person that she didn't know. You know, just, and so.
And she's never had an unspoken thought.
Your breath is bad, Papa. You know, I mean, You never know. But what happened was that we live just 12 houses from Christie's, so there's only one street to cross. So they can walk it. But, of course, with Mary and Christie on the phone, you know, well, do you see him coming down yet? So Mary had apparently given her some instructions, and so she's walking up the street. Mary's standing on the porch, and Audrey yells out to her sister, "Stay on the right-hand side." Pause. Which side is the right? And we can hear this rattling down the street. And you really want those kids to have good memories of being with you. And so Dave's booting us up. Shall we go on to the communication part?
Sure.
You pardon me? Don't worry about it. We'll go on. Let's talk about communication. Two things that I think are the most important: communication and activities. I believe that it's a matter of gender. Girls talk more than boys do. Not when they're little, it's about the same, depending on personality. So there's issues of age, issues of gender, and issues of personality, and you need to cooperate with their personality in that regard. But I think the first lesson of communication is to listen, listen, listen. They want to talk more than they want to hear you talk. And some of them will just jabber, jabber, jabber on. But but you need to do it. Another good thing is to listen to them talk to their siblings. You'll learn something about them by doing that. Listen and listen to them talk to their friends. And this is a key issue on this, don't be afraid of silence. You're driving in the car or whatever it is, and you're kind of trying to get a conversation, go ahead and let it be silent, especially if you don't have that little TV thing going. And they are thinking. And pretty soon, they will start. Yeah, something profound or just something that's on their mind, Lee, you know. They will start to talk. Are we up? Okay, great. And you know that Italian proverb, if nothing goes well, call your grandmother. I'm going to pass up on these verses. Consider gender, age, personality. Now, here is another important thing we found. Since we have a bunch of grandkids, it's easy to always have the group. And we feel it's important to do one-on-one. Do special things with them individually, even if the group is there. And we feel that it's more effective. So the whole issue of listen, 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 and to give full attention, which I have a problem. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, that is hard for me to do because I don't have ADD, but I should have. Because I always want to do about 10 things at the same time. And they don't like that. And then, so Mary, why don't you hear? Sorry, I haven't given you much chance.
Okay, just a few comments on laughing, especially when they're little. This may be the only form of communication you have. And if they're laughing at something that's very tiresome, peekaboo or something, some famous actress who started playing peekaboo with some little kid on the airplane in the seat in front of her. And finally she said, you know, it's always going to be me. We can quit now.
Yeah.
So whatever tickles their fancy, laugh with them. Laughter is a great leveler. Never laughing at anyone, but with someone. The generations disappear. Gender disappears. Whatever. Laugh with your grandchildren. Silly sounds, repetitive. We now have a grandson who's a junior in high school, and he's in improv. Do you know improv humor? And he's wonderful at it, and we saw it when he was a little guy and laughed with him at things that really weren't all that funny. So just a word to the wise.
And he gets into
laughter.
Trouble in school all the time.
All the time.
I haven't been to the principal's office for X time because he can't keep his mouth shut.
Okay.
Did you note this one, Mary?
Oh, yeah. What happens to us? And maybe some of us don't even laugh 12 to 15 times a day. But when the children are little, this is a great connector with them. And as they grow older, you see riddles, jokes, and finally the absurd. They begin to catch on in that way.
Yeah. So. The second major thing, so you listen, but you do also need to talk. Now, talk is an interesting thing because kids don't always want to do it. So you need to talk at their level and with their interest. And it can't always be spiritual. You're talking about all kinds of different things. So you focus on their interests. Focus on things that they think, and then focus on stories from them and from you. Now, part of the issue is learning how to ask little kids questions. And there are some techniques about how to ask them questions. By the way, spiritual encouragement. Gee, do I have the questions in here, Mary?
I have them.
Yeah, where does that come up? Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see. It comes up a little later. Because in the spiritual encouragement, here you are. Okay. For instance, what do you think the Bible says about? And if you want to be simple, you could just say about war. Because there's this war going on. What do you think the Bible says about talking? Now, they may or may not know the answer, but you remember they're probably in Sunday school, they may be, and they'll come up with a lot of things. So we have a lot of little quizzes. The other question, by the way, don't be overpowering in what you say. It always helps them discover. I try never to give them a question. I mean, an answer to a question. It was so funny the other day. One of my granddaughters calls and says, "Bob, I got a question for you." He says, "Why is it when you're looking at the wheels of a tire and it looks like the hub is going at a different speed than the tire?" And think of it. You've seen that with spokes and things. So I gave the long explanation. I said, "You got it? Got it. Thanks, Dad." But I've been hung up. I don't think she understood a thing I said, you know, about the physics of it. But she was happy. She got to answer the question. But we need to help them discover. And the questions, what do you think about? How do you feel about? And can you tell me more about that? If you just remember those three questions, I think it'll help you. By the way, with adults, it's pretty good, too. So, what do you think about, you know, something happens on the television, what do you think about that? What do you think about the snow? What do you think about those deer that are out, that come in our yard? Or how do you feel about something? And you'll have to let them go on, and they'll want, now they'll tend to talk their feelings to the grandma more than they will to the grandpa. And then if they say something, just say, "Well, tell me more about that." Like all, you know, school's a pretty big topic most of the time. "Well, what did you do in school?" "Oh, nothing." "Well, you must have done something." And then finally they'll say something. "Well, tell me more about that." And if you can just get them talking. I think that's a major issue because they do want to talk. Okay, Mary. Let's see what I've got here. Oh, I've got some don'ts. Don't keep asking them if they want to go to college. Don't keep asking them what they want to study. They don't know. You know, they really don't know. Don't give lectures, at least not too many. and don't do very much correction. You're not the major corrector, and especially don't embarrass them in front of their friends. I mean, that is really a no-no for them. Okay, hon, I think you've got...
I think that's really key, to let them take the lead. We were at a wrestling match a couple days ago, and our grandson is 16, so you think, you know, how expressive do you get in front of his friends? Well, he had won his second match, and we had to leave. I've forgotten why. But we were slipping out, and he came over and hugged us.
Sweaty.
Oh, my goodness. He had really put out effort. Sometimes you have to let them take the lead in that regard.
Yeah. Anything else there, dear, what we want to... Pardon
the
me?
The don'ts. Can you back it up?
The don'ts. I can back it up. I know how to back this up. There you go. Now, have you discovered some other don'ts? Those are just ones that we came up with. Any other things that you found, Hate?
I think there's one that is, in my day, we did it this way. Yeah. You know, this isn't right because we did it this way.
Yeah, that's right.
Or maybe don't react too soon.
Yeah.
One of our granddaughters was at our place, and she came and sat near me, and we weren't talking, just sitting there. And she said, finally she said, "Nana, did you have temper tantrums when you were young?" And she's been dealing with this issue in her life. And so that led into... I didn't want to say, well, I had bright red hair, and it went along with that. You know, it really wasn't sin in my life. But we had a good discussion, just following these little clues that they dropped.
Yeah, and that's where silence really comes in to play sometimes. That's also why the fixation on, and we have it in our house too, they'll want to go turn the cartoons on and so forth. It so occupies them and it stops communication. Now, you don't want to deny them necessarily all of that, because that's kind of a fun thing. But somehow to have other environments. Okay, did you get the don'ts there? And that's discuss and dialogue. This is one of the things, Kohlenberger, I think, did a major study, and this is a quote, more than one in five teenagers had talked to a grandparent about personal problems. A higher proportion than had talked to parents, teachers, or siblings. So very often you're going to have the chance to significantly interact with the kids. Mary, this is yours.
Okay. How are we doing?
We got 15 minutes. We're okay.
Okay. Well, I think we go till 12:20. Do we? Anybody?
No. Or 12. Oh, so 12:15. No, I think we're okay till 12:15. That's right.
Okay.
We're in good shape. Because we want to get some interaction going on this. Yeah.
Okay. Just a few quick notes on affirmation, that sometimes their parents are too busy, too stressed, harassed, to give affirmation in all these little things that are really important to building up the children. And they need that encouragement. They need to build their confidence and have someone who is looking and will give them support in various areas of their lives. For example, their little accomplishments. It might not be too significant, but they want to hear that they've done well, or they've been noticed, or that there is someone watching out in all their little accomplishments. And just before Christmas, I went to one of our preschoolers' little Christmas presentation. And his mother was down front taking pictures, and I was sitting back several rows. And there he is standing up with all these little kids. And they sang a little song. And then he spotted me in between the songs, and he hollered, "Hi, Nana, I'm singing." Well... You know, you've got to nod and smile and give a little affirmation for what's going on at that point. affirm their ideas. Maybe you can't fully agree. They have some kind of crazy ideas when they're young, but to listen without assessing, and that in itself is an affirmation. And confirm their ability to think about these things and to accept their ideas without criticism. Now, if it's something going in the totally wrong direction, you'll want to open a discussion, but not to cut it off with criticism. To be available to their hurts and distresses. It might seem something very simple, but if they're willing to share it, we want to be open to listen and give affirmation in that way. One of the children came over and she was distressed because somebody in school had made fun of her because she likes to dance. Well, you know, you've got to say, the Lord approved of dancing. And it's one way of expressing your appreciation to the Lord. So giving affirmation wherever we can. And as far as their dreams, what they're planning for the future, one of the little ones said to me, I want to be a soccer player and an author. Well, it seemed kind of an unusual combination for career. But, you know, to listen and say, well, I'd like to hear more about that. And then she said, Nana, how do you write books? And I said, well, first you start collecting ideas and you can put those down. Then you can think about them and start organizing. And she said, Nana, I just want to tell the story. You know, didn't need
She didn't want the whole process.
So my communication wasn't too good in that regard.
Then another thing that we have found, and we work on, and by the way, we are not placing ourselves. We do better with some grandchildren than others. We've got some stresses in our own family, so it's not all sweetness and light with us. But we're trying to create environments for communication. And so the things we've thought of, one of the great ways is driving in the car. So if they're nearby, now long distance is a whole other issue. You've got phone and all those kinds of things. But go pick up one of the grandkids. So you're just going out to run errands. You're going to go shopping at the store. And if they're nearby enough, say, would you like to go? Well, they love to go, and only take one. Don't take them all, because they count it as a special thing, especially when they're pre-teen. And they enjoy it. So driving in the car is a key one. I've taken him fishing for Jared on his 16th birthday. I said, okay, Jared, anything you want to do for a whole day, you just figure it out. Well, it took him several days to figure it out. And he said, let's go fishing. So we started figuring it out, and we went up in the mountains, and I found, and I'm not much of a fisherman. I'm not, you know, I can do it, and I've caught the first fish with most of my grandkids. But I don't really know much about it. We found the place and we fished for the entire day and hardly talked. But every once in a while a conversation comes up. But it was just good. Just spending the entire day. Now, I don't know what you need to do. Go on walks and on hikes. The kids loved, if you've got places, you can do it. We did that on Christmas Day. Two older ones wanted to stay back and watch TV, and their dad said, no, you're going to go. Well, we had a phenomenal time. And so there were seven of the grandkids and a couple of the parents. And, you know, it's things happen as you're out in those hikes. They do crazy things. They play games. They're running back and forth. And then one of them will stop and talk with you. And it's just, it's an environment for communication. Another one is to take them on trips that are longer than just driving to the store. Whether it's driving up in the mountains or wherever you are, something special. To that car time is pretty important. At least we have found that's one of the most significant things. And then, of course, there's sport events. Now, my parents never came to any event I ever did. I don't know. It didn't occur to me that they should have. I would like to, you know. It was just concerts or whatever, maybe one, I can't remember. But, you know, that just wasn't their thing. And parents are busy, but sports are big for kids. And you think, oh, they may not even acknowledge you. Now the little ones do. Do you have Grandparents Day at your schools? Any of you? Yeah, we do. It's coming up, by the way. It's in February. And often they'll do it if you can go. We have Veterans Day at our school. And so my grandkids want, and my daughter ticked off because I kept traveling on Veterans Day. So I've now blocked Veterans Day, want me to come, and veterans wear their uniforms. So I go and give lectures on space in the kids' classes. And it's quite a scheduling opportunity. You know, I mean, we're trying to put together all these kids in all their different classes, and then the kids have to introduce me. And, you know, the teenager's a little embarrassed and whatever, you know. But one thing, I rushed down to another school, again, where the seven-year-old was. There was only a 10-minute window before they got out of class, and I had to rush in. So I'm hustling around this school trying to find her classroom, and I walked in. She jumped up, ran around, said, "Papa, Papa, you came, you came, you came." And I mean, in the middle of, I mean, you can't imagine, you know, what it did for me. Goes over, grabs me by the legs, and, you know, she didn't give a rip what I said. And I always bring pictures and stuff. So whatever, you know, Bob, I think you could do something with hockey or something, you know, from whatever the past. You got to find something that communicates. So our school does a lot of that stuff. And parents and grandparents can go into any of the classes. So do it if you can. What do you do? What are other ideas that you've had? We're going to go into some activities in a few moments, but
Jerry, we did a Thanksgiving, the first annual grandfather's hike.
Oh, really?
I got a phone call from my grandson in Denver. Well, would it be okay if Daddy comes? And I said, well, Daddy's really aren't
very attached to Daddy.
He's very attached, you know. And so we negotiated that, and the deal was that when we got to where we were going to do the hike, that I would hold his hand.
Oh, is that right?
But this created the event, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, next year now, they'll be looking forward to that. They can go to a different place and do a hike.
Well, see, it doesn't take much, does it, Bob? It's just a little event that you would have. What else? Have some of you tried anything? Or heard? Yes.
My husband's really the best grandparent because he fishes with the boys. He tells me this outrageous story.
Oh, that's great.
I had two of ours because they were hunting, and our daughter-in-law was not feeling well. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do with these kids? We're at the cabin, thank goodness we have that. And I said, what am I going to do with these kids? I'm not sure quite what to do. I haven't been a mother. I just skipped that and went to grandmother. Yeah. So I got an idea. I put on a piece of paper, and we did a scavenger hunt. And we wrote down things, you know, we wanted to find.
Okay, that's a great one.
Great. And then we had a little bag, and I said, we're going to collect these for your papa, which I call Lee, and Dad, and we'll give them these when they get back from hunting. So we went around and we checked off everything. We had little simple things like a rock or whatever I could think of. And then we had things we could see, and they had to spot a bird. And it was great because they were so occupied that worked out really well.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it was fun for them. They really enjoyed it.
Yeah. That's a good thought.
And then
what you do, Lee, with them too.
Oh, sorry.
I was amazed at what you said, that when you took your grandson fishing that she didn't talk much. Or that there was
a lot of silence. Yeah.
We get out and we start fishing, and maybe it's my way of drawing them out, but I start talking to them, and then they just flow.
Yeah.
And what I do is tell them stories as we fish. Fishing's just the excuse, but we're studying the stars, we're studying the trees.
Yeah.
I was teaching them about forest fires and how they could tell if there was a forest fire in the woods, you know.
Yeah.
150 years ago by this snags. And then you just
plant that seed and listen to them, they'll call a week later, a month later, they'll remind you or say, you know what?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And so through stories and examples,
yeah,
I try to educate them, and it makes us, it really brings us close together.
Right.
And that's, I think, been the best thing about the audience.
And I think so, and the communication, you know, remember, we're there all day long. So, I mean, there were these periods of silence. There was a lot of talk. But you see, what I love there is you had an idea of teaching them, and you have a skill, and you know some of that. See, some of the stuff I may not know, and each of you have certain things that...
Yeah, and one-on-one is so important,
yeah,
because they really remember that.
Right.
I remember... You know, one-on-one things.
Right.
When I was young.
Yeah.
How important that was.
And of course, for girls, cooking, and what do you do? Do some of the things that you've done with the girls?
Yeah, we like to cook together. It's hard for mothers to take the time and to do that. And our newspaper has children's recipes almost every week in the children's page. So, you know, they're learning to read, they're learning to measure and make a mess and whatever. But it's a wonderful activity to do together. Right?
That's a good point. And we have instituted something like that. We have what's called a 12-year-old trip. And at age 12, the kids can shoot. And see, I get these frequent flyer miles because I travel so much, so it's not so financially hard to do it. So they can go anywhere in the U.S. One was proposing. Where was the one proposing? And
one five-year-old said, I want to go to Wichita.
Oh, yeah.
And we said, oh. That isn't a destination for lots of folks. But we said, well, why would you like to go to Wichita? Well, I've heard there's a really good zoo there.
Yeah. But they get to choose it. The only the requisite is it has to have an educational bit. So they actually plan it and choose it. And now they're thinking ahead 2 and 3 years, you know. And we got two of the little grandchildren of different families decide they want to do it together. And we said, well, we're not so sure, but they're still negotiating on that. So we've taken 2 to Washington, D.C., and 1 to New York City. That's where we've been so far. And it's for 3 days, and it's both of us, 3 to 4 days. I mean, it's not just a day. So, and it's significant. Yeah, Mike?
We have taken a lot of trips through the years. Our daughters made it easier for us because we only have 4 grandchildren.
Yeah.
And they have their children at the same time. One has 2 girls, and the other has 2 boys. Now they're 19 and 60. But through the years, because the cousins, you know, the boy and the girl, cousins get along better than the siblings.
Yeah.
You know, we would take them on trips till we went to Washington, and we've taken them on driving trips up through here to Colorado and all up to,
yeah,
Yellowstone and Tetons.
Yeah.
You know, and show them the Little Bighorn and Mount Rushmore, and you know, they get back in school and they've seen some of those things.
Right.
And we take them to places like Albuquerque to see the Indian reservations and that,
right,
sort of thing. This last year, sort of as a high school graduation, we took the 2 older ones to Europe for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taken the boys fishing and hunting before and spending a lot of time with them, like an older one. I took them on town for 2 weeks. And it isn't the time fishing that's so valuable. It's the time before and after fishing and talking, mm-hmm, about it and the things that come up, you know, over, mm-hmm, meals and the time together. So that time, one-on-one, is really valuable time. And it develops such a bond as they get older. We,
yeah,
just have great relationships with the grandchildren.
Yeah.
The time spent with them as they grew up.
It's significant. Well, it is so important. There are just 3 warnings, and Mary, I think you've got this.
I think they're in your... Are they in your...
Okay. They are. Okay, I'll just...
Never ridicule, never use sarcasm, even if it can lead to a laughter. Don't do that, and don't lecture.
Yeah.
You can get your point across with a small, pithy comment here and there.
Right.
So those are some things we are trying to practice.
And we've already talked about activities. So Mary is, and you may have covered all this, the location in your home. Do you want to, have you covered everything there pretty well?
I think so.
Okay, I'll just, sleepovers, gardening, games, video night, we've talked about that.
So many great books out for children to read, and it's amazing how well they read it. And you think, well, if they need this child's book, they're reading adult literature a lot of times, or advanced books, and they're great Christian books. And I love to read to my grandkids and then listen to them read to me, and boy, they just dove it. You know, I learned from 4 to 12.
Yeah.
So there's so many different levels. But I have seen how reading with the grandkids has influenced them as they've gotten older.
Right. And they're very proud to read to you. You know, right, especially right at those ages when they're just learning.
Particularly some of the religious books.
Yeah.
And talking about Christmas. And then he opens the door and you can talk about Christ. And
right.
And gives you a chance to...
Way better than having the TV on.
Yeah. I have a... I just have to share this with you.
Yeah.
Annie and I went to California at Christmas with my middle son and two grandsons who are 12 and 10. They have a wonderful... church school there that the kids go to. My 10-year-old grandson, we're walking from the grocery store to lunch, or from lunch on a little hike out here, and he started singing the Bible, and he has memorized every chapter in the Bible from this song.
Every book?
Every book.
Singing that.
And my daughter-in-law also knows them. They learned them in Sunday school, you know. Same
thing.
It's a little song that goes right through them all. And it's so cute how they just rattle them off.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard...
Yeah.
Well, and that memory stays with them. The rest of their lives. Yeah, boy, that is for sure. Just some thoughts on activities outside of the home. Differentiate between activities you attend and activities you create. It's just a good thought. Because we go to as many of the games and whatever, but you need to create some too. And there are big deals and little deals. The little deals are shopping, errands, bike rides. You know, here in town, this was done for some people who live here in town, Pioneer Museum, the library, zoo, all kinds of stuff. Shooting hoops, I said even racquetball, Bob. Did you notice that, Bob?
Yeah, right.
And then there are bigger to big deals. We talked about the 12-year-old trip, mountain outings, hunting, fishing. We do a big deal on the circus when it comes to Denver. The Nutcracker Suite, the Wolf Reserve for one of our granddaughters up here in the mountain. I mean, we're just stuff. We just watch for things that we might take them to. So Mary, we just try and create it. And the parents really appreciate it. Give them a day to do anything with you. And of course, the special events and all of that. We go with them to Pine Cove down in Texas, or this summer there's going to be a family camp here. There's a day, where you can bring kids. In fact, I'm going to put a brochure out for that tomorrow. Okay, I think that's...
Chair?
Yeah.
Mentioning one thing, you may not be real creative on looking or thinking of ideas. If you go on the AARP website and go under grandparents, you can find tons of ideas of things to do with your grandkids. Everything from trips like we've been talking to making Play-Doh and all sorts of stuff. Age-related activities with your children. I don't know what you think about the AARP, but the information is there.
I don't think
there. And parental controls lets me into the AARP. So yeah. I know anybody can get in there.
Okay, just a couple of comments. Do any of you have children who are divorced? Okay, you do. Okay, and they have children. Okay, that's... There are several difficult circumstances, and we aren't going to talk about them in detail, but I want to mention them to you. One is when you have a when there's been a divorce in the family or widowhood, like if the grandparents have been divorced or widowed and remarried, it's their step-grandparents, and there's these things. The only thing I want to say on that, there's a lot we could say, and we have done some things with our class. You've got to work hard at it. You really, and you have to be very tolerant. Now, one of the biggest hassles when your kids are divorced is visitation rights. And it makes a difference whether it's the divorced kids, whether it's your daughter or your son, and who has custody of the kids. Well, what an example my grandmother was to make sure she kept touch with me. You know, I mean, it was a phenomenal thing. What she and it was pretty intentional. And in the divorce situation, though you may be the only one here now, but just remember when you're talking with people who've got divorced kids, is the tendency is to take the part of your own child. And that can really get touchy. They may not. For instance, my grandmother, when her son divorced my mother and came visiting back, and my grandmother told me this later, she came up to visit my mother when I was a year and a half. My father had gotten remarried, and my mother came out of the room just crying, and Grandma says to her, "What's wrong?" She said, "Well, Gene says, my dad, he's going to take Jerry with him now because he's married and he can give him a home." She marched in there. She grabbed him by the arm, says, "You're going to do no such thing," marched him out of the house, and that was the end of that story. I mean, she was one pretty strong lady. And she watched that. And when I first met my natural father at age 13, it was my grandmother who took me there. And she was on top of the whole thing. So you think of the influence that had for me personally. Now, Mary didn't know her grandparents. They were living in the same town, but it was a different story.
Well, my grandparents on one side had 36 grandchildren. On the other side, there were 12 or 13. And so, you know, maybe they just... And it wasn't a common thing in that day. You know, they raised their kids, and that was it.
Yeah, that was it. And I mean, there just wasn't this idea. Also, everybody tend to be right in the same area. You know, they were sort of gathered in. A couple other circumstances that to think about when you have different values than your children. I mean, your kids may decide not to follow God. They may marry someone who doesn't want to follow God. And so you have to realize the values. You're the values one, honey. Anything you want to say on that?
Just, let me see, what do they have on there? Okay, on your right. How about the discipline of your grandchildren? What should you do or not do? And then what if you don't agree with the way your children are raising them? Okay, remember again, it's the parents' responsibility. So if the parents are there with your grandchildren, do not correct the parents in front of the children.
No, you mean the grandchildren in front of the parents? Or which way do you mean?
Both ways.
Both ways.
I was getting there. I know I'm speaking too slowly. But okay. Both ways. If there needs to be some attention given in that regard, do it out of the hearing of the grandchildren, if you're going to speak to your own children. And we have shared this seminar in another place, and we'll run this little test again. Do you feel that the grandparents have the right to discipline physically? If you're keeping your grandchildren for 4 or 5 days at a time, what would you do if there were pretty overt disobedience?
Are you talking about corporal punishment?
Right. For our perspective, we have never laid a finger on the children, feeling that if we can't voice control them, we need to send them back to mom and dad for some remedial training. But we have had people disagree with this. So this is something you need to think through, or certainly talk to your children. You don't. And in this day and age, touching a child, correcting a child physically is, I mean, you can look for the flashing red light in front of your house. So things like, you need to decide with the parents what food you can feed them. Is it marshmallows and Hershey Kisses when they're at your house, or is it, you know, just things like this, the values. If you need to talk to your children, perhaps you see something in their discipline that is very alarming to you. Either it's severe or it's completely inconsistent. Something that is very troubling that you see that they may not recognize. Approach them gently and say, have you considered the possibility of this? And work it through with them, because you are a second line of defense for that child. And I think before the Lord, we would have the responsibility to do that. How about if your kids, what if you have different spending principles than your kids and you feel that affects your grandkids? Maybe they are very careless with their money. Do you come in and rescue for the sake of the grandchildren? They've run up huge credit card debt and that sort of thing. It's well to think through, how generous are you with the grandchildren? Do you set limits? Maybe you have a lot of ability to buy them what they want. You've seen the little sign, if mom says no, call 1-800-GRANDMA, and she'll step in. We usually, mid-year, I take the grandchildren on a toy run, and we go to Walmart or Toys R Us or something, and I say, now, remember, we have a lot, so I have to limit it, but say they can have $10, and so we go to the toy department. It teaches them the principle that you have to be limited, that you can't just have anything that you want.
Yeah, we've sometimes spent 2 hours on this toy run because they're running back and forth. Let's see, this one is $11.98, and let's see, I'd want two with this, and they keep putting things back, and then of course they get older, they want more expensive things. But it's an interesting exercise.
I think that's enough.
I think we're probably at the end of our time.
Yeah, we are.
Spiritual values, finances. Do you rescue your kids? We have one friend who says, you know, for my grandchildren, I let my children be homeless on the street. I mean, they're serious. I mean, there's some difficult issues. But they've had to step in. And then another little issue is when the kids come back to live with you. We've had all of our kids at one time or another come to live in our house. And 4 months gets a little long, you know, after a bit. You know that. But then you have a different set of guidelines that you have to think about. But what if there's a divorce or something else happens and where you have to actually bring them back into your house to rescue? That's where it really, and we know, for instance, in the African-American community, most kids are being raised by their grandmother. That's not at all uncommon. Well, listen, folks, I think we need to quit. And thank you for your participation. We appreciate it. Yeah. Good. You bet. Let me just pray and thank the Lord for our grandkids. Father, thank you for these wonderful little beings that you have placed in our lives, mm-hmm. and the special connection that we have with them, and for the short time that we have them in this way. God, help us to do what's good and right and just. Give us wisdom. Help us to be led by you in those interactions. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.